We'll get everybody in here in a minute. Welcome, everyone. Hey, we got church going on in here. Y'all can lie about who caught the biggest fish afterwards. Okay? We'll wait and we'll start telling lies about who caught the biggest fish after church. Wouldn't you? Oh, Lord, who are we missing? Well, I don't know. I feel like we're missing someone. Welcome, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Does anyone in your bulletin have your special in it?
Oh, is that blue one?
Yeah, the blue one or the insert that says your special.
Yay!
Yay!
She didn't stack the deck this week.
Huh? You did? Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's who we're. Oh, no, we're not. It's my wife that I'm missing, of course. That's who we were missing, my wife. She's around here somewhere, probably selling used cars again. Yeah. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just ask you to bring your Holy Spirit in here this morning and just bring your peace and your love and through the word and the teachings that we have and the fellowship here. And we just ask you to bless this church and this body that's trying to love this community in these troubled times in our world. In Jesus' name, amen. That's who I was missing, right there. Okie dokie. Announcements we got coming up. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. We're open with prayer. Dum, 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 dum. The Bible study. It was good last week. It was small, but it was really good. Thank you, Brother Osborne, for doing it. We'll be in John 12 next week. Of course, the free medical care, if you're interested in that. We have information about that. Of course, that's today. Boom, 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 boom. So that meal will be this evening at 5 o'clock at Arlo's. Huh? Yeah. Also, stay there for a minute, please. They, out at the Healing Gardens, there's a tree that hearts go on for the individuals that have lost child. And we have got a heart for Brad to go on that tree. And this is what it will look like. And it will be there in about a month to 6 weeks, the lady said the process was. And actually, your son and my son will be going on that tree together.
Good.
We love you. The military, we are doing good. We've already raised $175 for Bible sticks and course. Yeah, so thank you guys for supporting our troops. And, of course, Zach had his mother have to come in town down in Kellogg, and he wasn't able to make it here today, but he will be back next week. So, and church council. On a, excuse me?
No.
The 11th.
The
11th. All right, I'll change that. Yeah. Okay. The Friday AA meeting is going to start here at noon. And I do have some special announcements I want to give. Sue did the bulletins, and we really appreciate that. And there's some on the table back there. The directory. Okay, correct me, guys. Keep me straight. And I was thinking about the bulletin. Jackie did have to go in the hospital, and she will be in the hospital for a little while. But these were done this week. Sherry has taken over the job of doing the bulletin. Joanna came in and on Friday, and they worked together to get it all figured out on how to do it, and they got it done. And as I looked through it, I realized that there were one typo in it, and that was on me. It was not on him. As I looked through it this morning, it was on me. It was there where it tells you that the scriptures is a 47, it should have been 57, and I looked at that and I missed it. But that was on me. Of course, I make them kind of mistakes all the time. Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. You know, you got to realize just whoever handed it to me, that's all I got in my mind, right? But what do you actually do? You kind of just build them? Yeah.
What would you call that, Anita?
Yeah. Edited. Oh, you edited. Okay, see? What have I told you about using these big words around me? Okay. Edited. All right. Yeah, okay. And do we have something about the Sunday school room? Yeah. Y'all ready?
Yeah, it's just the pictures.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, but she gathered her troops, and they got that room. And if you get a chance to actually go in and look, it's fantastic. It is so nice and warm. It's
very nice.
She did a great job.
And if she goes to do some work, don't get in her way, Brittany. She's a go-getter, and she's also been a very good blessing. Let me borrow that, baby.
Consider my affliction, and please deliver me. Plead my cause. And redeem me. Salvation's not for the wicked, for they don't seek your word. Great are your tender mercies, Lord. Revive me according to your loving kindness. Revive. Praise your name. I rejoice in the treasure of your keep. Revive me according to your loving kindness. according to your loving kindness. Revive me, O Lord. Roll my ways on before you. Let your hand become my
We're going to be looking at the plot this morning to kill Jesus. And we're going to look at it, I hope, in a little different way that you've not looked at it before. Hope you learned something that's going on here. And like always, the Osborne is going to read our scriptures for us. So would you do that at this time, please?
Some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing? They asked. Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away our temple and our nation. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish.
He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the people of Judea. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the wilderness, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and as they stood in the temple courts, they asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all?" But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it so that they might arrest him.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to take this a little backwards today, actually, a little bit. 55 through 57 is clear that they're looking forward to find Jesus where they can arrest him. And so that's kind of really self-explanatory. They've went through with their plan. They've had their meeting. Now they're going to do, you know, they get their hands on him, they're going to follow through with what they. And 51 through 54 is just, they don't even really realize it, some of them, but they are saying that Jesus is exactly who Jesus said he was, you know, that he has came to save the whole world. and one man will die for that purpose, and that man was Jesus Christ. It gets interesting up here, this council of the Sanhedrin. For some people may know who they were, some people may not know who they were, but they were a council of 71 people, and they were all high priests, and they were you could probably, the day and time, if you looked at the cardinals at the Catholic Church, that's who these group of people were in the Jewish church. These were the all laws for the Jewish people, all religious practice of Jews ran through this group of people. And they governed the Jewish nation. So, pretty powerful people. It's very interesting that they decided to take and call a council to kill Jesus, this group of people. Because when you think about it, if we remember over the last book that we've been going through, they're constantly threatened to stone Jesus, right? So let's remember that Jesus was not a person in high stature, did not come from royalty, did not come from someone that a council like this would have to be called to put him to death. The Jews stoned commoners, which they considered Jesus was, on a regular basis, would know they just any normal in your community, a high priest there could make a decision that you needed stoning and it would happen. So why? What is going on here? Here's the question. What is going on here that this common man, this carpenter, this basically nobody is so important quickly that the main head council of 71 has to be called together to discuss putting him to death? Why? Why not? Let's just go stone him. Why talk about it? Ooh, that's kind of scary, ain't it? And I got a couple of Bible verses here that I am going to use that I didn't get in here. But Nicodemus was one of these individuals that was on this council of 71. And we know in John 3:1-3, that Nicodemus went in the night and visited Jesus and said, "Surely you must be from God, doing these miracles that you're doing and stuff." We know that. And we know after Jesus was taken down off the cross, Nicodemus was there with the sacred burial oils and herbs and took him down and helped him get a tomb to be put in. High priest. So here's where the problem comes in at. This is why this council had to be called. Because Jesus was changing the people's mind, and they were afraid of uprising. And that uprising was made these high priests afraid that the Romans would come and take their authority away from them, take their temple and take their church, their authority away from them. And there was some in here, like Nicodemus, and he was not the only one, believed Christ was who he said he was. And it's in some of my studies that I've done, I've came to the conclusion that Nicodemus may not even attended this council. He may have stayed away from it. There's a possibility of that. So how did these people get in such trouble? That's supposed to have been here to represent God to the people, the authority, this council. Well, we know it's self-will. Man always get in trouble going back to self-will. In Matthew 6:24, Christ said, "You cannot serve two masters." And then actually, it's money is what they're talking about in Manama. But I'll agree to disagree with some pastors that think that Christ was only talking about money. I don't believe that. Christ spoke and paraphrased a lot, and I believe he was talking about all things of this world. You know, not just the material thing. That's just my interpretation, my understanding, and no one has convinced me that I'm wrong. When they do, I'll change my mind. But so that's what's happening here. You got a problem going on here. You've got this set of Jewish leaders that are responsible for the law and everything, and they have allowed over a period of time through their self-will to do, allow Satan to do what Satan always do. And he loves to create triangles. Satan loves to create triangles. So here's these leaders. They're in a rock and a hard place. They're between God, the Roman authorities, and God's people. The people that they are responsible from God to serve. So here they are. They're afraid of losing their authority. They're afraid of the Romans. They're afraid of the God's people, the common man. And they have lived in a way that did not measure up to the authority that God gave into them. That opened the door that he gave to them. That opened the door for Satan to come in and start creating division through triangles. He said, she said, I said, he said. And the proof not really being found anywhere. So then they make a horrible mistake down here in their way of thinking. The real problem here is between God, this group of Jewish leaders, and the Romans. And let's just be honest, what happened here? They decided they were more afraid of the Romans than they believed in God. They decided that the Roman authority on the face of the earth that had the ability to come and take their powers, kill them, nail them to a cross like the Romans did, and take their country and take all authority away from them and all their riches and all the stuff that they had gained in the Word of God as leaders and all their comfortable living, they were more afraid of the Romans and they loved and trust God. And even though you had individuals like Nicodemus saying, wait a minute, guys, he may really be the Lord and Savior. We need to take a closer look at this. Boy, let's don't make a mistake here. Let's tread, you know, easily. Let's walk carefully. But the only thing that they could focus on was what the Romans would do. And you would think as humanity, we would learn. But we seem to not to. In the Christian body, just like the Jewish body of God at that time, we will allow Satan to come in. Because there's a little change going on, a little difference going on. Something, God is doing something new, not quite what it was. you know, and we may lose something if God does something a little different, you know, and Satan starts creating that triangle among us. These were all well-educated men. See, the question I have to ask myself today is, Tom starts doing something different in the church to serve this church in a way that has never been served before, instead of me wondering what I am going to lose, I need to ask the question, what will I gain if he's serving God? What will I gain? This is the trouble they got into here. They got blinders on with self-will. They couldn't see, instead of acknowledging, maybe like Nicodemus did, wait a minute. If we acknowledge Jesus Christ as Jesus Christ, let's stop looking at what we're going to lose and what are we going to gain? But that's what Satan does every time. He did it to Adam and Eve. He does it time and time and time again. Is the minute I am comfortable with something in God and I need to let it go and move on to whatever next God wants me to do, he tells me that God is shortchanging me and I'm losing something that I can't live without. And can't you see what you're losing? And Christ said, if you lay everything down for me, what will you gain? You will gain eternal salvation in the kingdom of heaven with me and my Father and the Holy Spirit. We're always moving forward or dying in that tomb of sin peacefully without knowing it in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not a stagnated water. It's a flowing river that's constantly going and purifying and changing and building new stuff and bringing new people in to the body to be saved, to understand the personal relationship with Christ, that the only way out of this life, to have an eternal life forever with God, is through the Son. And if we're not reaching out and pulling the lost in, and if we're just sitting here as Christians of 71, patting one another on the back in our nice robes and hats and stuff, and we got it good, kind of like I got mine and I let everybody else get theirs, you know, we've missed the boat. We've missed the boat. Because we are supposed to be going and talking and loving, you know, individuals up and bringing them here to this safe place. This is a sanctuary. This is God's sanctuary. It's not a big room. Don't have a lot of fancy pictures on the wall. But this is God's sanctuary. This is the sanctuary that we come in, we sit down, and we're in agreement that we're coming here at the body of Christ together, seeking the Holy Spirit of God Almighty to be in fellowship and in union here. And that should be always our goal when we walk into this sanctuary. Nothing else. This is a holy place. This is a place every Sunday morning that we agree to come together and seek the Holy Spirit of God Almighty through the Son and peace for humanity through that Holy Spirit from God Almighty. That's our job as Christians. I know that there's a great plan that God had, and I know Jesus knew everything that was going to happen, you know. But I'm that guy that likes to say, what if? What would have happened to humanity if these 71 leaders had got together and all could have followed behind Nicodemus? And you said, you know what? He is the Lord and Savior. And we will fight the Roman army to the death to protect him. What would have happened then? I know the Roman army's got more swords. I know they got more armors. I know they got more whatever. But he is God Almighty. He is the Son of God. And we have something that they don't have. We have the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God Almighty, the Creator of all. And that trumps anything that the Roman army has. And I know that's true, because I know 300 years later, the Roman army, without one shot being fired, without one sword being drawn, broke and fell and accepted Christianity as their religious, and that's how we came up with the Roman Catholic Church in Rome today. That's how that came about. Jesus conquered them through the cross. I'm wondering, if we would have been a different people at that time, could Jesus have conquered them a different way if we would have rallied behind him? But I do know the day after the resurrection, we have to rally around him today. And we have to put him first, regardless of what our personal disagreements are, regardless of our personality, character defect. We all got shortcomings, right? No one's perfect except Christ. We're all not going to agree to disagree on some stuff. But if we can agree to do that and not fall in this trap that the great council fell in, getting between God's people, the Roman army, and God, and how we serve God's people through the Father. If we can get there, and today it's this world, you know, the world's our Roman army, you know. This little church right here can move mountains for Christ. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, and I'm finna get ready to hush up. I think I made my point. But they asked me about my little church. And I told them, I said, well, you know, my little church is little, but I don't underestimate us, because we are like David. And if we get our slingshot and get it going, you know, that big old giant might just catch one between the eyes and be done. You know. So God uses the less than the meek to glorify his Son. So thank y'all for allowing me to bring this message today. I love you guys. I hope you got something out of it. If you didn't, I'm sorry. I will try to work harder. God bless you. I think we have a worship song coming up.
You call me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now
footnote, food for thought, before we get to final prayer. Holy Spirit just spoke to me. When Jesus was in the garden at the foot of Mount Olive in Gethsemane, and he prayed three times for his Father to pass this cup from him, I am wondering if he was praying, I'll take this cross, but if you can see fit, have my people wake up and know who I am. Is that what he was praying for? I'll go do it this way, Father. But if you could see fit, could you touch them and then wake up and know who I am? And maybe we could take a different path. But your will be done, not mine. I've often thought that he was praying for us to wake up. So, is my... Uncle Kurt would say we called him the Godfather. Take that little piece of information and put that in your pipe and smoke on it for a while. That's what he used to tell me, give me information. He'd say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. I said, okay, thank you, sir. do with it what you will. It's time for final prayer. Does anyone have any prayer requests they would like to make? Anyone else have any?
These two babies, Rosie's baby and Kate's baby.
Oh, okay. Do they have the what? They have names?
What's Rosie's baby's name?
Stanley.
Yeah. And you got to know the other one's name.
Andre.
Okay, Andre. Okay, because. You'd be in trouble if you didn't know that one. But, okay, anyone else? Yes, ma'am?
Hello, Dr. Preet. We have been praying for the Sires family because Millie has COVID and in the hospital, and she is improving. They are about ready to take her out of ICU and put her in a regular room, but not yet. And another woman has been going under cancer treatment for forever. Down in Post Falls, she is on the upswing and is looking better. So, Marie DiGiulio. Anyway, he is so faithful. And it may not be the touch that we would like, the immediate touch, but while they're convalescing, perhaps he's working on their hearts. And that is grand. Hang in there, folks. Keep praying for them.
Thank you, ma'am. And anyone else? I know them kind. Them guys that always want the X's and O's to be perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I got Vinny, Sue, Don, Faith, Miss D, Beth Ann, Jackie. Pray for her. She's really struggling right now. Got Jimbo and Bulldog on this list today. Sherry's shoulder still healing up a little bit. And, of course, our country and the condition it is in, that maybe we'll wake up and turn back to the Creator of all things instead of trying to run the world through our self-will. And our military and the situation that they're in right now and how things are playing out in the world. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just ask you to touch each and every one of these lives that have been mentioned today here in the way that you see fit, that will draw you to them, because we know all things is a temporary appointment on this earth. It's only a personal relationship with you that we're guaranteed forever. And whatever these situations is, if they lead them to knowing you as their Lord and Savior, they're going to be okay regardless of what happens on this world and on this earth. And we just ask you to heal these people with your love and your understanding and your wisdom. Would anyone else like to pray? And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Pastor, is today potluck?
Yes, ma'am, it is.